Hello and welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, the Spectator's daily and sometimes more than daily politics podcast. I'm Gus Carter and I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and Katie Balls. Last night, Number 10 accused Dominic Cummings of leaking the Prime Minister's private text messages. Today, Cummings has responded with a bombshell blog. Katie, tell us what's in that blog.
Several claims. I think that after Downing Street made the decision to not completely on the record, but clearly a concerted Downing Street response last night, Downing Street sources alleging to several papers that Dominic Cummings was behind a series of messages, the Prime Minister's messages being published, it felt as though it was only a matter of time before we might hear from Dominic Cummings. He's not really known to be the shy and retiring type. And particularly, I think, in a fight where you to bet on who would go the furthest, you would often go for Dominic Cummings. So after that happened, we had a blog that's been posted, and it is ultimately his response. He says it's a statement regarding Number 10 claims today, and it's supposed to be a rebuttal of it. I think it's a rebuttal and more. I think that if we were being completely strict and replying to the point, some of the things wouldn't be in here. But ultimately, on a few of the charges, for example, so part of the reason we had the Number 10 briefing last night to several papers was specifically regarding messages from James Dyson to the Prime Minister and vice versa, which I think is seen as a trigger. There's been lots of leaks in recent weeks, but this was a trigger in terms of Downing Street's intervention. Now, Dominic Cummings is saying that he is not behind that leak. He said that when it comes to his messages, he has some relating to James Dyson, but not the ones that have come out. He's very happy to hand his phone in. He's suggesting the Prime Minister could also get his phone out and show the text that he allegedly sent to Dominic on this. And then I think when you get beyond that, the other big leak allegation was regarding lockdown 2. So this was when details of lockdown last year leaked early. And that's long been a source of continued stories in the Sundays. I think most ministers who are in that top tier have been accused of it, several aides. And there's an allegation from Dominic Cummings that it was Henry Newman, who was working for Michael Gove and is now a senior aide in Downing Street, was behind that. I think if we're looking at the parts which are perhaps the most embarrassing, because you never fully know in a leak inquiry, I think every pinch of salt, is Dominic Cummings' claims that when it was suggested to him that all roads were leading to someone in Michael Gove's office, potentially Henry Newman, that this would be the case, the Prime Minister suggested he might have to call off the inquiry because it would upset his fiancée because she is best friends with Newman. So I think that's a difficult charge for them to respond to. And then I think probably the most serious part of all this relates to the Downing Street flat refurbishment. Now, we have heard today from the Cabinet Office that I think there's a strong suggestion, at least, that Boris Johnson is now paying for that himself. But Boris Johnson paying a substantial fee was not always the plan,
right?
if you believe that. And I think what Dominic Cummings says re the flat is that there's been accusations made against him regarding the stories on the renovation of his flat, which is why he's decided to talk about it on this blog. He says, the Prime Minister stopped speaking to me about this matter in 2020 as I told him I thought his plans to have donors secretly pay for the renovation were unethical, foolish, possibly illegal, and almost certainly broke the rules on proper disclosure of political donations if conducted in the way he intended. Now, I think that's the most serious charge on this blog and one that is going to be the most difficult for the Downing Street press office, which I will not be having a lax Friday night.
Fraser, that is quite a serious allegation. What do you think Number 10 was thinking last night when they decided to point the finger at Cummings? What did they expect to happen?
Well, that's a question that's being asked right around government right now. What on earth was Number 10 thinking? If you go out and attack Dominic Cummings and brief newspapers against him, how do you think he's going to respond with, if he's even half as dangerous as they think he is, with a shrug or with something a bit more dangerous than a shrug? And they've got their answer today. And of course, I mean, there are several more disclosures in this blog. Dominic Cummings says he's sitting in possession of masses of private information, which he stands ready to give to Parliament should they want, as he proposes, to do an inquest into Boris Johnson's behaviour. He'd be very happy to give evidence. Now, I think the rationale for Number 10 was this, that they knew that Dominic Cummings was likely to detonate, to drop a dom bomb, as these emails are called, and that he was also due to give evidence to a parliamentary committee, perhaps after the local elections. So maybe they would get the retaliation in early. They would portray him as a schemer, as somebody who is hell-bent on revenge, and therefore somebody who should not be listened to. So perhaps the intention would be to cast doubt on his motives, his credibility, and anything else he might go on to say. But obviously the flaws in the strategy are pretty obvious, because Dominic Cummings is, he's basically saying, look, I'm itching, I'm waiting, I'm wanting to show you the documents. Like, show me the messages. Any parliamentary inquiry will come and I'll show you. Any number 10 inquiry, I'll show you. So don't take my word for it. I've got documentary proof. So I think number 10 has made a massive miscalculation here. The only thing they can be grateful for is that they did not carry on with Dominic Cummings' era suggestion of having daily parliamentary briefings, because how much fun would it be tonight if Allegra Stratton was about to give a press conference being asked about the disclosures of this email?
Not very fun at all, you would have thought. Katie, one of the questions for people outside of Westminster is, how much sway or how much influence does Dominic Cummings still have in number 10? There was a time when people thought that he was basically kind of Boris Johnson's Svengali, and he had the whip hand over the number 10 machinery, the kind of comings and goings. How many more vote leave members of staff are there in number 10?
They're a very small number, and at this point you're going to the point of defining how long working on a campaign you need to do before you described as vote leave.
Right.
I think the last hardcore vote leaver was Oliver Lewis, who quit over the union unit. You have Clea Watson, who is someone who worked closely with Dominic Cummings, who is still there. She's now working on COP26. And then you have obviously some colleagues in the building who did get on with Dominic Cummings and Lee Kane, but it's not particularly fashionable to say that these days. I think you're supposed to repent slightly if that was the case. So I think in terms of the vote leave grip on number 10, there is no real direct grip. If you had to name factions in number 10 these days, I think that vote leave held surprisingly large volume of power, something they sought to do early on for a Boris Johnson government or a Boris Johnson setup. He normally has factions, a bit like a court playing against each other, and they went against it. And now I think Vote Leave are gone. You will have, I mean, there's a City Hall group. I think people call it Carrie's crew, people who are close to the Prime Minister's fiancé.
That's an interesting point, actually, Katie, because this is one of Dominic Cummings' main allegations, that the influence of Carrie Simmons is huge and growing in number 10. Now, in his blog, he identifies Henry Newman as being best friends with Carrie. Henry Newman, of course, is now chief political advisor to Boris Johnson. So as part of, as you say, many disclosures in Dominic Cummings' blog, one of them is to say that, look, Henry Newman is actually part of the Carrie Simmons faction. Now, this is an accusation that we know Boris Johnson absolutely hates. He goes wild when anybody suggests that his fiancée is exerting political influence. But then again, she is a former Tory communications chief. Of course, she's going to have friends and contacts in the party. Of course, she will have a personal network, which, given that she lives in number 10, is bound to overlap with a political network. Now, this is a theme that I think I'll be surprised if there are very many things that Dominic Cummings blogs about in the next few months that don't include at least one reference to Carrie Simmons or perhaps her dog Dylan.
And I think this is also why, when we're looking at the recent antics of number 10, it's all the more bewildering that they decided to go for this, because now what will probably happen is we'll have a few days, just in time for the weekend papers, of number 10 infighting, maybe in-out fighting, because some are out of the building.
Yeah.
More stories, some involving the Prime Minister's fiancé, some are probably more focused on the Prime Minister. He is the one in charge. But ultimately, I think that, and this is something that they hate, they do not like these stories spilling out. Yet by taking such a confrontational approach last night, it was slightly inevitable to end up back in the situation of another round of number 10 civil war. I think what's interesting is Boris Johnson, when Vote Leave left, wanted to have a more collaborative, peaceful, less combative government. Is that possible when clearly the ghost of Dominic Cummings looms large in that building still? The Prime Minister was very frustrated about these messages that were appearing, and I think clearly had it say he would be get to have approval on the comms plan, at least, so drastic. Mm-hmm. So is it possible to do that when the pair have such a difficult relationship, and one that the Prime Minister clearly doesn't feel he can ignore?
Thank you, Fraser. Thank you, Katie. And thank you for listening.